Well, hello. How are you? It's Thursday, weekend fast approaching, and my week has just begun because I got back to work yesterday after being on vacation. So I'm a little disoriented, but looking forward to talking with you this afternoon. A ton of new stuff going on, a ton of toll talk to get into, which we'll do later in the program. I want to start off with something else, just have a breather from toll talk, because there are other things of great import that are making people crazy. But I wanted to... This is out of left field, but it will come back into it will come back onto the playing field that you are more familiar with. But let's go back in time and listen to Malcolm X, who I'm convinced, had he lived, we would have had a much healthier country, in that he was viewed as the radical one, but he wasn't really that radical, except that he told the truth. And I offer this in support of the idea that truth-telling is something we should all endorse and get behind, even if we disagree. We live in an era in which the left is trying to crush free speech and destroy people for having ideas that don't agree with theirs. And this is a very effective technique in this age of clustering into ethnic groups or whatever kind of divisions we can find. That by dividing groups up and having them fight against each other or amongst themselves is very good politics. And making a particular group feel that they're being super served by the Democrats is really good politics for them. And they get everybody so emotional and charged up that it's not possible to have a healthy conversation. As a matter of fact, they want to avoid a healthy conversation, because in a healthy conversation, the rational mind is involved. But in tribal politics and identity politics, the idea is to be so emotional that you skip right over rational thought, and the free exchange of ideas becomes something that needs to be demonized to keep everybody in their little echo chambers of rage. That's the politics of today. And sometimes you hear Democrats talking about how, I mean, everybody does, but particularly I think people on the left like to repeat a lament about, wouldn't it be nice if everybody could just get along, and this is too harsh, and the president is awful because his politics is so destructive. But he's an outrageous guy on the surface, in the way he interacts, in his style. And style is, you know, of debatable importance. It's of some importance when you're president, for sure. But what we have to, I think, look at is that the presidency shouldn't be as important as we make it. Let's devalue the importance of the president's behavior. I think that's one of the positive effects of the Trump presidency. But more what I want to focus on is that compared to Trump, I think the insidious nature of politics on the left is more important and more destructive than anything else. So listen to Malcolm X, who's just a beautiful communicator, talk about the danger that he sees for Black America, which in those days was called Negro America.
In this crooked game of power politics here in America, the Negro, namely the race problem, integration, civil rights issue, are all nothing but tools used by the whites who call themselves liberals against another group of whites who call themselves conservatives, either to get into power or to retain power. Among whites here in America, the political teams are no longer divided into Democrats and Republicans. The whites who are now struggling for control of the American political throne are divided into liberal and conservative camps. The white liberals from both parties cross party lines to work together toward the same goal. And white conservatives from both parties do likewise.
Now, that's very interesting, the last part. He's talking about how there were liberals on both sides and there were conservatives on both sides of the political divide by party. There were liberal Republicans, there were conservative Democrats. And therefore, the parties were indistinguishable in the past. And that's changed. That's part of what people find so confusing now about politics, is that the parties have become stratified along ideological lines. And the conservative Democrats have been thrown out of the party, and the liberal Republicans have been disavowed. But he's also talking about the fact that liberalism uses black America for political gain. And we certainly see that still the case today.
The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. And by winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game.
Now, isn't that happening all the time? Isn't that more the case today than it was back in the 1960s when these words were spoken? Really profound. And this ties into the whole idea of free speech, in that we live in a time in which it's much harder to exercise free speech, in which young Americans, millennials, or Generation Zers who are college age currently, don't believe that something deemed as hate speech should be considered part of free speech, the protections of free speech, when in fact the purpose of free speech is so that the most outrageous forms of speech can be included. We need the free exchange of ideas. Isn't it great to hear people say things? To hear a black guy. Imagine a black leader saying this today. There aren't any black leaders that I know of on any national level. And the fact that the ones who pop into your mind as black leaders on a national level are, I think, viewed by most of us as being race hustlers who do exactly what Malcolm X is talking about here.
That is constantly raging between the white liberals and the white conservatives. The American Negro is nothing but a political football, and the white liberals control this ball through tricks or tokenism, false promises of integration and civil rights. In this game of deceiving and using the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leader, who sell our people out for a few crumbs of token recognition, token gains, token progress.
Now, that last part is unbelievable, because this is my observation, and I say it from time to time, about those former civil rights leaders and their descendants who occupy what's called the Black Congressional Congress, the Congressional Black Congress, CBC. Isn't that what it's called? Those characters occupy this elected position in Washington that gives them an air of dignity and authority, and an intuitive sense that these are the black leaders of today. But they offer no leadership to the black community. How could they, given that they are virtually silent in the maintenance, in response to the maintenance of the current conditions of black America, which have not improved? We don't see them improving. And in order for the crumbs that Malcolm X is talking about here, they fall into line, as so many groups do, for the manipulation of money. This is beautiful stuff. And I think the reason why Malcolm X was marginalized during the era for being outrageous, for being a radical, for being dangerous, is because he spoke the truth so bluntly. Anyway, I wanted to share that and find out if you had any reaction to it, because it just rings so true. Its resonance is overwhelming in reflection to what's going on today. That's my opinion, and I wanted to get yours. And then I've got other stuff to share with you as well. But if you have a reaction to that, I'd love to hear it. 522-9842. Do you agree with me that this is right on, or maybe you're on the other side of it? Maybe you're outraged by what Malcolm X is saying. But to me, it sounds like clear, lucid, obvious thinking about where America is at and where race is at in America. So we'll take a quick break. We'll talk more on WTIC News Talk 1080.
In this game of deceiving and using the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leaders who sell our people out for a few crumbs of token recognition, token gains, token progress.
That's Malcolm X talking about 50 years ago, and it seems like politics in America hasn't changed much. Your take on it, please. Nice to hear from you, Tex in New Britain. How have you been?
I've been good, Matty. How are you doing?
Good. I know you're in a hurry, so go ahead.
So listen, so I think you're tapping in, you know, to a very touchy subject, you know, when you're talking about this. There's two things. So first, I believe that the time that you're talking about this right now is probably the most applicable to the general public. Like, you know, I'm going to listen to this information right now a whole lot differently than if there's a case in the courts or there's, you know, somebody just got shot in some, you know, the top headlines about yep. African-American being abused. So the fact that you're doing it now is different than when that's going on. And I believe it's more spongible now than it would be in any other event if it was something going on, first of all. Number two, this is a tricky, tricky line you're walking on because, you know, what it is that they have been, you know, back from slavery till now, it just seems like it's a general consensus that if you're gonna hit somebody, the black person should probably be the one because they've never really had their crap together. And I don't agree with it, but that's how general public, I believe, perceives this. And I think it's wrong. I don't like it. And I think it's necessary to be handled because imagine if the black community was considered just as relevant as all of us are, and we had that input from them. How much more would we learn at that point?
If there was more coverage of thoughts and ideas from urban America or black America.
Exactly. I mean, you never know. Maybe you could learn something. And that's the thing, is that nobody ever even pays attention or looks to the right because they're always looking over there where the sun's shining. But sometimes the guy that's walking down the road with a push cart, he might have something to say to you that changes your life, the way you perceive things.
Well, that's certainly true.
Yeah, so that's all I'd say.
Good to hear from you, Tex. Thank you for the call. Yeah, so I think that's important what Tex had to say, that there is a need for more information coming out or just hearing thoughts like what Malcolm X spoke. We don't hear people talk like this so much, even though there must be a large percent of the population that agrees with this, and there have been leaders in the NAACP. We've had leadership from Connecticut on who've talked in a similar way, not quite as boldly and absolutely, but there's political power at stake. So it's easier for Malcolm X out of the past to tell us this than it is for somebody who's trying to do politics today. They lose money. They lose influence. They lose power if they tell the truth. 860-522-WTIC, Sue calling from Watertown. Hello, Sue.
Oh, hi. Welcome back. The time, I don't know if this is pre-Malcolm X Mecca or after his trip to Mecca, so I don't know the reference of that. But at the time, the community that was most involved in black issues was the Jewish community at the time in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a community like that. There was one by the name of Dorothy Sterling, known communist, but she was very active in issues such as that. So I don't know. I don't know who he's speaking to when he's speaking to liberals at the time when he's speaking of that. So it's and as far as like the leadership, would change in 1965, in order for Johnson to be elected, he made a deal with Abernathy, Martin Luther King, and the person, Hubert Humphrey, instead of giving the black people wanted economic empowerment zones. and they traveled with a delegation from Mississippi to be seated. Fannie Mae Lou Hamer, you can look her up, the speech that she was given. Johnson could not get the white Southern Democrats to go on board with him to get elected to defeat Goldwater unless they made a deal. So in 65, that's when they made a decision, rather than give economic independence to black people that desperately wanted, they gave them government dependence. And that's how it started. So there's a history. There's so much history involved in how all of this stuff. So I don't know the reference of Malcolm X, the time he's speaking, but I do know the community actively supporting Malcolm X was the Jewish community at the time. I mean, not the Jewish community, the liberals at the time were the Jewish community. So there's a lot in this conversation that would be great to have another conversation, because there's a lot of history and context. But I appreciate your courage for bringing it up.
All right. Thank you, sir. To me, it's out there waiting to be talked about. Everybody wants to have honest conversations about race, and there's no reason not to. The free exchange of ideas is what makes America great, in that we have a guarantee of that right, and we can't let it atrophy. But it's also what makes the market in the realm of political ideas function, like any market. If all desires aren't represented, then we have a problem with our markets. Jamie in Middlefield, hi.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for bringing that clip up there. I just caught you with Malcolm X. He's so right, without a doubt. Talking about the patronage by certain political types and giving a few crumbs of scraps to appease, but our local leader as well. I know you've had him on the radio before. The NAACP leader, Scott Esdale, is his name.
Yeah, Scott Axie goes by for short.
During the gubernatorial campaign, he echoed a little bit of that, as you probably recall. He said, you know, we're tired of being taken granted of. Any constituent that he might have, let's question it a little bit. You know what? And it was so refreshing to hear from him. I had the opportunity to talk with him during a fundraiser in Hartford a few weeks ago, and yeah, he believes it, and I hope he continues on that for the next election. You know, I don't know what direction any constituency have ultimately went, but at least he raised the question, and I just thought that was very refreshing to hear, and just really hope we hear more about that, because I just think what the Democrats, not all but some, have done to that population, not as a whole.
As a whole, be careful with your qualifications. Don't be too cautious, because this is what the Democrats do as a whole. You're right to say, obviously, that not all Democrats believe any one thing, just like any other political group. But as a whole, what they do is take special interest groups and create this relationships where they're bound up with each other. And nobody wants to talk honestly because they don't want to risk what they get. And that's an insidious force in politics, I think.
So it's all about getting the votes and keeping the power. And that is a shame, because the greater good is really not of the main concern here. And I just think it's terrible.
I agree with you there, too. Thank you, Jamie, for the call. 860-522-9842. That's Malcolm X, who we're listening to and talking about. We'll play a little more of it coming up. Hello. How are you? It's Thursday. Weekend fast approaching, and my week has just begun because I got back to work yesterday after being on vacation. So I'm a little disoriented, but looking forward to talking with you this afternoon. A ton of new stuff going on, a ton of toll talk to get into, which we'll do later in the program. I want to start off with something else, just have a breather from toll talk, because there are other things of great import that are making people crazy. But I wanted to, this is out of left field, but it will come back into, it will come back onto the playing field that you are more familiar with. But let's go back in time and listen to Malcolm X, who I'm convinced, had he lived, we would have had a much healthier country, in that he was viewed as the radical one, but he wasn't really that radical, except that he told the truth. And I offer this in support of the idea that truth-telling is something we should all endorse and get behind, even if we disagree. We live in an era in which the left is trying to crush free speech and destroy people for having ideas that don't agree with theirs. And this is a very effective technique in this age of clustering into ethnic groups or whatever kind of divisions we can find, that by dividing groups up and having them fight against each other or amongst themselves is very good politics. And making a particular group feel that they're being super served by the Democrats is really good politics for them. And they get everybody so emotional and charged up that it's not possible to have a healthy conversation. As a matter of fact, they want to avoid a healthy conversation because in a healthy conversation, the rational mind is involved. But in tribal politics and identity politics, the idea is to be so emotional that you skip right over rational thought, and the free exchange of ideas becomes something that needs to be demonized to keep everybody in their little echo chambers of rage. That's the politics of today. And sometimes you hear Democrats talking about how, I mean, everybody does, but particularly I think people on the left like to repeat a lament about, wouldn't it be nice if everybody could just get along, and this is too harsh, and the president is awful because his politics is so destructive. But he's an outrageous guy on the surface, in the way he interacts, in his style. And style is, you know, of debatable importance. It's of some importance when you're president, for sure. But what we have to, I think, look at is that the presidency shouldn't be as important as we make it. Let's devalue the importance of the president's behavior. I think that's one of the positive effects of the Trump presidency. But more what I want to focus on is that compared to Trump, I think the insidious nature of politics on the left is more important and more destructive than anything else. So listen to Malcolm X, who's just a beautiful communicator, talk about the danger that he sees for Black America, which in those days was called Negro America.
In this crooked game of power politics here in America, the Negro, namely the race problem, integration, civil rights issue, are all nothing but tools used by the whites who call themselves liberals against another group of whites who call themselves conservatives, either to get into power or to retain power. Among whites here in America, the political teams are no longer divided into Democrats and Republicans. The whites who are now struggling for control of the American political throne are divided into liberal and conservative camps. The white liberals from both parties cross party lines to work together toward the same goal. And white conservatives from both parties do likewise.
Now, that's very interesting, the last part. He's talking about how there were liberals on both sides and there were conservatives on both sides of the political divide by party. There were liberal Republicans, there were conservative Democrats, and therefore the parties were indistinguishable in the past. And that's changed. That's part of what people find so confusing now about politics, is that the parties have become stratified along ideological lines. And the conservative Democrats have been thrown out of the party, and the liberal Republicans have been disavowed. But he's also talking about the fact that liberalism uses Black America for political gain. And we certainly see that still the case today.
The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. And by winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game.
Now, isn't that happening all the time? Isn't that more the case today than it was back in the 1960s when these words were spoken? Really profound. And this ties into the whole idea of free speech, in that we live in a time in which it's much harder to exercise free speech, in which young Americans, millennials or Generation Zers who are college age currently, don't believe that something deemed as hate speech should be considered part of free speech, the protections of free speech, when in fact the purpose of free speech is so that the most outrageous forms of speech can be included. We need the free exchange of ideas. Isn't it great to hear people say things? To hear a black guy. Imagine a black leader saying this today. There aren't any black leaders that I know of on any national level. And the fact that the ones who pop into your mind as black leaders on a national level are, I think, viewed as most, by most of us, as being race hustlers who do exactly what Malcolm X is talking about here.
That is constantly raging between the white liberals and the white conservatives. The American Negro is nothing but a political football, and the white liberals control this ball through tricks or tokenism, false promises of integration and civil rights. In this game of deceiving and using the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leader, who sell our people out for a few crumbs of token recognition, token gains, token progress.
Now that last part is unbelievable, because this is my observation, and I say it from time to time, about those former civil rights leaders and their descendants who occupy what's called the Black Congressional Congress, the Congressional Black Congress, CBC, isn't that what it's called? Those characters occupy this elected position in Washington that gives them an air of dignity and authority, and an intuitive sense that, oh, these are the black leaders of today, but they offer no leadership to the black community. How could they? Given that they are virtually silent in the maintenance, in response to the maintenance of the current conditions of black America, which have not improved. We don't see them improving. And in order for the crumbs that Malcolm X is talking about here, they fall into line, as so many groups do, for the manipulation of money. This is beautiful stuff. And I think the reason why Malcolm X was marginalized during the era for being outrageous, for being a radical, for being dangerous, is because he spoke the truth so bluntly. Anyway, I wanted to share that and find out if you had any reaction to it, because to me it just rings so true. Its resonance is overwhelming in reflection to what's going on today. That's my opinion, and I wanted to get yours. And then I've got other stuff to share with you as well. But if you have a reaction to that, I'd love to hear it. 860-522-9842. Do you agree with me that this is right on, or maybe you're on the other side of it? Maybe you're outraged by what Malcolm X is saying. But to me, it sounds like clear, lucid, obvious thinking about where America is at and where race is at in America. So we'll take a quick break. We'll talk more on WTIC News Talk 1080.
In this game of deceiving and using the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leader, who sell our people out for a few crumbs of token recognition, token gains, token progress.
That's Malcolm X talking about 50 years ago, and it seems like politics in America hasn't changed much. Your take on it, please. Nice to hear from you, Tex in New Britain. How have you been?
I've been good, Matty. How are you doing?
Good. I know you're in a hurry, so go ahead.
So listen, so I think you're tapping in, you know, to a very touchy subject. You know, when you're talking about this, there's two things. So first, I believe that the time that you're talking about this right now is probably the most applicable to the general public. Like, you know, I'm going to listen to this information right now a whole lot differently than if there's a case in the courts or there's, you know, somebody just got shot in some, you know, the top headlines about yep. African-American being abused. So the fact that you're doing it now is different than when that's going on. And I believe it's more spongible now than it would be in any other event if it was something going on, first of all. Number two, this is a tricky line you're walking on because, you know, what it is that they have been, you know, back from slavery till now, it just seems like it's a general consensus that if you're gonna hit somebody, the black person should probably be the one because they've never really had their crap together. And I don't agree with it, but that's how general public, I believe, perceives this. And I think it's wrong. I don't like it. And I think it's necessary to be handled because imagine if the black community was considered just as relevant as all of us are and we had that input from them. How much more would we learn at that point?
If there was more coverage of thoughts and ideas from urban America or black America.
Exactly. I mean, you never know. Maybe you could learn something. And that's the thing, is that nobody ever even pays attention or looks to the right because they're always looking over there where the sun's shining. But sometimes the guy that's walking down the road with a push cart, he might have something to say to you that changes your life, the way you perceive things.
Well, that's certainly true.
Yeah, so that's all I'd say.
Good to hear from you, Tex. Thank you for the call. Yeah, so I think that's important what Tex had to say, that there is a need for more information coming out or just hearing thoughts like what Malcolm X spoke. We don't hear people talk like this so much, even though there must be a large percent of the population that agrees with this, and there have been leaders in the NAACP. We've had leadership from Connecticut on who've talked in a similar way, not quite as boldly and absolutely, but there's political power at stake. So it's easier for Malcolm X out of the past to tell us this than it is for somebody who's trying to do politics today. They lose money. They lose influence. They lose power if they tell the truth. 860-522-WTIC, Sue calling from Watertown. Hello, Sue.
Oh, hi. Welcome back. The time, I don't know if this is pre-Malcolm X Mecca or after his trip to Mecca, so I don't know the reference of that. But at the time, the community that was most involved in black issues was the Jewish community at the time in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a community like that. There was one by the name of Dorothy Sterling, known communist, but she was very active in issues such as that. So I don't know. I don't know who he's speaking to when he's speaking to liberals at the time when he's speaking of that. So it's and as far as like the leadership, it changed in 1965. In order for Johnson to be elected, he made a deal with Abernathy, Martin Luther King, and the person, Hubert Humphrey, instead of giving the black people wanted economic empowerment zones. And they traveled with a delegation from Mississippi to be seated. Fannie Mae Lou Hamer, you can look her up, the speech that she was given. Johnson could not get the white Southern Democrats to go on board with him to get elected to defeat Goldwater unless they made a deal. So in 65, that's when they made a decision, rather than give economic independence to black people that desperately wanted, they gave them government dependence. And that's how it started. So there's a history, there's so much history involved in how all of this stuff. So I don't know the reference of Malcolm X, the time he's speaking, but I do know the community actively supporting Malcolm X was a Jewish community at the time. I mean, not the Jewish community, the liberals at the time were the Jewish
yes.
community. So there's a lot in this conversation that would be great to have another conversation because there's a lot of history and context. But I appreciate your courage for bringing it up.
All right. Thank you. So it's out there waiting to be talked about. Everybody wants to have honest conversations about race, and there's no reason not to. The free exchange of ideas is what makes America great in that we have a guarantee of that right and we can't let it atrophy, but it's also what makes the market in in the realm of political ideas function like any market. If all desires aren't represented, then we have a problem with our markets. Jamie in Middlefield, hi.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for bringing that clip up there. I just caught you with Malcolm X. Yeah, he's so right, without a doubt. The talking about the patronage by certain political types and giving a few crumbs of scraps to appease, but our local leader as well. I know you've had him on the radio before. The NAACP leader, Scott Esdale, is his name.
Yeah, Scott X. He goes by for short.
During the gubernatorial campaign, he echoed a little bit of that, as
yes.
you probably recall. He mm-hmm. said, you know, we're tired of being taken granted of. Any constituent that he might have, let's question it a little bit. You know what? And it was so refreshing to hear from him. I had the opportunity to talk with him during a fundraiser in Hartford a few weeks ago. And, yeah, he believes it. And I hope he continues on that for the next election. You know, I don't know what direction any constituency have ultimately went, but at least he raised the question. And I just thought that was very refreshing to hear, and just really hope we hear more about that, because I just think what the Democrats, not all but some, have done to that population, not as a whole.
As a whole.
It's a crime.
As a whole. Be careful with your qualifications. Don't be too cautious, because this is what the Democrats do as a whole. You're right to say, obviously, that not all Democrats believe any one thing, just like any other political group. But as a whole, what they do is take special interest groups and create this relationships where they're bound up with each other. And nobody wants to talk honestly because they don't want to risk what they get. And that's an insidious force in politics, I think.
So it's all about getting the votes and keeping the power. And that is a shame, because the greater good is really not of the main concern here. And I just think it's terrible.
I agree with you there, too. Thank you, Jamie, for the call. 860-522-9842. That's Malcolm X, who we're listening to and talking about. We'll play a little more of it coming up.